Good morning. Okay, you are now being recorded.
Okay. Very good. I better watch it. So, good morning. My name's Pat Condon. I'm coordinator of career services here at Bristol Community College. And I'm always excited to be here in the classroom meeting with students who are thinking about what the next step for them is going to be. How many of you are programming students? Just about everyone, programming, networking. This morning we have with us Greg Clarkin, and Greg is a senior recruiter at Meditech. How many have heard of Meditech? Okay. So you know Meditech is a software company that makes medical software, and they're based in Massachusetts. So Greg Clarkin, our senior recruiter, and Terry Ort, who is a programmer at Meditech. And Terry actually was sitting in your seats a couple of years ago. He was a former BCC student. He was actually a student of Priscilla's. And he is now working. Terry, your position at Meditech, you're a programmer or a manager?
Programmer analyst.
Programmer analyst at Meditech. So they're going to talk with you today about the company, the history of the company, current career opportunities, company goals. Greg will also speak to the skills that students need in order to be successful when they're working at Meditech. And Greg and I will talk a little bit also about your resumes, some tips you might need as you're putting your resume together to work not only for Meditech, but for any organization for programming or IT type of position. We'll talk about interviewing tips, and then just take a few minutes to answer any questions you might have. So I'm going to turn it over to Greg.
Thanks. Hey, guys. So I'm Greg Clarkin, and I'm actually the college recruiter for Meditech, Medical Information Technology Incorporated, and I work up at the Framingham office. I live up in Boston, work up at our Framingham office, but I grew up down here in Fall River, went to BCC myself, and I've been working at Meditech now for almost 11 years now, a long time. Great experience. We just got named one of the top 100 places to work in the state. Number 19 out of the largest employers in Massachusetts, so real interesting place. I'll introduce you to Terry in a couple minutes. He'll tell you about his experience from here. We've hired so many people from Priscilla's class that I've lost count, to tell you the truth, on how many people we've hired, but it's a good number of people who've come from this program, and they stay with us long term. They build their career with us, and it's great. For those of you that don't know Meditech, we do have a Fall River building over near the south of Tuppapon there, over near Whites of Westport on the Fall River side. It's one of 8 buildings here in Massachusetts. We have 2 that are up and coming. We just bought the Adobe building over in Waltham, Adobe Software building, and a huge facility in Foxborough that we're redoing. And then Framingham, Canton, Norwood, a couple Westwood offices, but a beautiful Fall River building, probably 10 minutes away from here, not too far. What we do is we develop software specifically for the healthcare industry. So healthcare facilities of all kinds use our software. If you've been to Charlton Memorial, if you've been to St. Anne's Hospital, St. Luke's, every hospital in the South Coast here uses our products across the board. So if you've seen them come up to you with that computer on wheels, we call them cows, and they take all your information, and you go over to the radiology department or whatever department next, you know, you'll see people using software. A lot of facilities now, what they're doing is they're using iPads, things like that. So a lot of times what they're doing is they're using the Meditech software. We make what's called electronic health records, and they track patient information across the healthcare facility. Real-time, up-to-date information for clinicians to, you know, make better decisions. And a lot of safety measures built into the software as well. And there's a big push now to drive down the cost of healthcare. Our software helps to do that as well. We make a lot of financial applications, which help in that process. So federal government has recently given about $20 billion towards what's known as ARRA and the High Tech Act, reimbursing healthcare facilities to start using our products. So that's led to a tremendous boom in business, and we're really looking to increase our numbers to keep up with that demand. You're all in a very good field. You hear so much about what a difficult economy it is out there, but there are jobs, and there are jobs out there for programmers, and there are jobs out there in healthcare. Those are 2 of the fastest growing industries out there, and we combine those 2, and that's why we've seen so much strength financially within our company. We've been around for 44 years. We're one of the oldest software companies out there. We're one of the largest privately owned software companies. So we don't answer to Wall Street or They're not worried about quarterly profits, things like that. 44 years of consistent growth financially. We've never laid off a single staff member in all that time since 1969. And it's predicted to grow for many decades to come. And we're just continuing to grow to keep up with that demand. So it's a great area to get into. A lot of different positions. I'll leave some position descriptions out for you. Programming roles, those of you that are programmers, we use a lot of our current stuff is using our own proprietary language, something that we'd fully train you on. People who have come out of Priscilla's courses have had a very easy transition over to this. A lot of our newer stuff, we're making an ambulatory product that's all web-based, so we're looking for HTML, XML people. We're looking for SQL programmers, web designers, web developers, software developers going through and developing new applications. You're working with our development analysts. They're the ones that kind of storyboard the product. You then go bring it to life with a team, and then you have people, development specialists, they go in and kind of break the product. They try to break it as if they were an end user, as if there were somebody over at Charlton that was using it. Our products are pretty important. Obviously, they play a big role in patient care, so it's important that they have as few bugs or issues as possible before we send them out. Inevitably, it's a comprehensive system, so there will be some issues, and we work to correct those very quickly. And that's, in many cases, the role of the programmer analyst, which is what Terry does, which is working with the existing code, dealing with any issues, technical issues, problems, questions. The customers are going to go to a customer service specialist, tell them what the problem is, they reproduce the problem, and they send it off to Terry. They say, hey, this isn't working the way it should. I reproduce this issue. This is the way that it should work. He goes through, we have a number, he'll go into the specifics with this. We have a number of rings. He does things, he makes some changes in our test ring. Obviously, he doesn't want to play around with a hospital's live system. So before making any changes, does everything in sort of a test system, makes sure it's working, and then brings that over to their live system. And hopefully, at the end of the day, the customer is happy, and he moves on to the next task. But IT specialist roles, networking, help desk roles, we do everything internally when it comes to the software, and we're a growing company, so we have a lot of different opportunities depending on the path that you're looking to go down. I definitely want to leave time for Terry to speak, but any questions on the general overview of Meditech, some of the positions, things like that? Yeah.
Is your software kind of like all over the United States, or are you overseas as well?
Yeah, we have the largest market share in terms of hospitals using our product. 27% of U.S. hospitals, or more than one out of four across the country, use our product. 40% of the Canadian market and 22 countries throughout the world are using our product. We have a Spanish-speaking group now that's targeting Central and South America and Spanish-speaking countries. So you're going to see a lot of growth there. We have a partner, Meditech South Africa, a beautiful facility there in South Africa that's marketing to that part of the world, the Middle East, Australia, South Africa as well. So yeah, it's not just local. It's throughout the country and internationally. We have a lot of positions that involve traveling. If you're interested in getting out, traveling, training our customers, after a few years there, you typically see all 50 states in all different places. I talk to people that go to Dubai, to the Arctic Circle, to everywhere. And, people say, "Well, I have about two states left to see." So, if you're interested in traveling,
Do they get to keep the travel points?
Yeah, all your travel points, all your expenses are covered while you're on the road. They're always going on great vacations and things like that, and your hotel points, stuff like that. But it's a lot of travel, but if it's something you're interested in, you can commit to. That's a great opportunity. But a lot of in-house roles as well. So definitely keep this in mind. I recommend checking out our website, meditech.com. Yeah?
Bring it up there if you want to.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Great. Just a quick question. If any of the students here are sitting, gee, that sounds like a company I might want, if they're thinking about it, is there a specific technical skill, one or two skills, a software that they should be familiar with, a programming language?
Well, you know, Terry.
What's going to impress you the most?
Yeah, Terry can speak to this a little bit because it's a little bit. We use our own proprietary stuff, so because of that, we hire at the entry level. You're going to see a lot of, when you're looking for jobs, you're going to look at a lot of programming roles, and they're going to say, well, we want 6 years of C++. We want 2 years of Java. We want this. There's a lot of specific things that companies are looking for. We hire at the entry level. We do all of our promotion from within, and we actually spend several months, probably 4 months on average, training each new programmer that comes in on our language, training them on the application, training them on the language. We don't just kind of push you into the deep end there and say, okay, here, sink or swim, or give you a booklet or a handout and say, okay, here you go, read up on this and good luck to you. It's a, you know, it's a big investment in each new staff member. So, you know, if you've had some experience with C, C++, Java, any of these, you can usually, you know, once you get the concepts down, they typically have a pretty easy transition over to our language because of the excellent training program. It's a little bit like going back to school, your first several months of employment there. Yeah?
I know a lot of software industries are stationed in a couple areas mm-hmm. in the U.S., Massachusetts being one of the big ones. And mm-hmm. you're saying you have a lot of different areas in Mass. New England area. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other places in the U.S. that are really large?
Yeah, well, we're a Massachusetts-based company. So our founder, Neil Pappalardo, he started back in the 60s, and you know, real pioneer in the software industry. You know, developed his own language at that point, and really wanted to stay in Massachusetts and only have facilities in Massachusetts. So that's why we have a vast majority of our staff working here. We have, just in recent years, purchased a couple other companies that we worked very closely with in the past. One of them is located down in Atlanta, Georgia, Buckhead, if you're familiar with Atlanta at all. So we purchased them, and they are now part of Meditech. They focus mainly on our home healthcare products, so hospice, if you're familiar with that. There's a software product that is designed for home healthcare. We also purchased a company that was known as LSS, and they're switching over to Meditech. And they're going to be fully, you know, Meditech within the next, I think, starting on January 1st. So they have two facilities out in Minnesota. So there's options. We do hire for those facilities as well. I do all the southern schools, Alabama, Georgia Tech, Georgia, University of Georgia, schools like that, as well as the Minnesota, Wisconsin schools as well to hire for those facilities. So if you want to go someplace warmer, Atlanta, we have plenty of space in our Atlanta facility. If you want to go to someplace colder, Minnesota for you. But yeah.
Space is covered.
Yeah. And then here in Massachusetts, you know, we started off in that, we started out in Cambridge originally, and then a lot of our facilities are in that technology belt, 128 area. About 5 years ago, I think, we came down here and opened up a facility, site of the old Kerr Mill. Some of you guys are like, what the heck was the Kerr Mill? But there was a mill there that burned down a long time ago, 1987, I think, and kind of sat there empty for a while, and Meditech built a facility up there, I think 5 or 6 years ago now. It's been a while. It seems like just yesterday, but yeah, we filled it up pretty quickly, and yeah, we've been continuing to grow since that time as well. Any other questions? All right, Terry, you ready? Ready to move? All right, tell him
about your journey. BCC to Meditech.
Exactly. And also, the work here section, this is our main website. If you click on work here, all the different positions that we're hiring for, you can see there's so many different opportunities. I just named a few, but these are all positions that we're hiring for, many of them pretty technical in nature, but we also do marketing, customer service, implementation. We got some general administrative stuff. You know, tax people, accounting people. Our accounting department is growing as well. So, that's mine. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, Ron.
I just want to come. I want to tell you a little bit about what I do, about the company. I will tell you this. I've already been, like it's been said, where you guys are. And I know you probably look at me and think, what was that, 40 years ago? But actually, I was in textiles my entire life. Unfortunately, I couldn't speak Chinese, so I had to find a new career. got laid off. I was 49 years old, of all things. I was like, oh boy. So the government was willing to pay for me to go to a couple years of school. I needed to get a degree that counted. Something that I could use for something that, in an area that I knew would have a future. And to me, software was the way to go. And I chose software for a number of reasons. I didn't know much about computers. I ran programs at where I worked, but I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about Windows. I didn't know anything about networking. I didn't know anything about anything about anything about anything. But this is, I mean, when your livelihood, when your family's on the line, you're going to do what you got to do. And I took advantage of it. And I got to tell you, I'm here for two reasons. Not for myself. I'm here because I know what you guys, I've been where you guys are. I know how hard it is. I'm here for you guys to let you know that you can get a good job. You can get a good job at Meditech. I'm here for Meditech. I guess what I'm trying to say is I got to believe what I'm talking about. So since I've been through this program, I know the foundation that it put in me. And I can see when I went into the workforce at Meditech, I wasn't lacking in any area. And now that I'm at Meditech, I can play the other side of the fence too, because I can see that they're really a class company that looks out for their employees. That Greg said is awesome. We're privately owned. You know what it means not to be profit driven? We never laid anybody off. A normal company, if they were a profit driven company, they would have hired a bunch of programmers, and when we had this last Aura crush, put them on and we'd have worked like crazy and then laid them all off. Not Meditech. You get there, you pretty much, you work hard, you're going to have a job. They never laid a single person off. That's the integrity. I'll tell you how they treat their employees. I'll just give you a little example. That building down on where I am. I'm here in Fall River. I love it. 15 minutes from home. Beautiful building. But if you look at it from the front, it is a nice building. But if you look at it from the pond side, it's all glass front. Well, here's the story behind that I found out. That pretty, really beautiful glass front was supposed to be the front of the street side of the building. And then the offices were supposed to go there, so everybody working in the pretty offices would have a nice view. Well, Neil Papalardo, the owner that Greg talked about, he looked at the plans and he said, so all the offices are going to have a nice view, and all the people out there have to look at four walls. And then he says, we're flipping this. He said, the people are my people are my most valuable resource. So now the pretty side of the building is in the back that you all don't see when you drive by it. But where we sit in our, they're not even cubicles, because they only come up to, there are dividers, but they only come up this high. So you can look at everybody all around you. It's a very, very open floor plan. That's one of the nice things about Meditech. When I first saw that, I didn't think I would like it. But you need help. You need a sounding board when you get problems. I tend to find that I work on things as far as I can, and when I'm stuck, I'll call my boss over, or I'll call another program over, and I'll begin to discuss it with them. And just having a sounding board is amazing. The answers come to you. So I'm telling you a lot. I'm not really telling you at all what I do. Like Greg said, we're big. We have developers developing code. We have about four different proprietary languages.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And there's a lot of support that goes on. I am in client services, which is one of the oldest languages. It is built off of Magic. I would say that will be around long enough for me to retire in, so that's good. I will tell you this, if most of you who get hired now, I would think will start to be in the newer languages. But example of my day, well, I'm in what's called the update group. The update group is responsible every time a hospital, we strongly recommend that a hospital stays current with our most recent we call them priority packs, because that sounds a lot better than bug fixes. It is a lot of bug fixes, but it's also enhancements, because we listen to what customers want, and we're going to make it a little bit, add some more features that they're looking for. So yeah, we urge them to go through an update all the time. So this is what I like about Meditech. I wouldn't have been smart enough to think about this. But here's how we work. We have every site, let's just say Charlton, right? They have three rings of code. They have a live ring. Well, you don't like to play in there, because you can imagine why. You make a mistake. Some of us have made mistakes. I know guys that have erased a lot of information. Fortunately, we do backups. We back up data regularly. But it's still a big hassle for a site, because they have to stop, load their backup tapes, get their data back. And meanwhile, there is some delay for it. So it can be a hassle. So we don't like to play it that ring. So they also have an in-house test ring. Well, they have a test ring at the site. And then at Meditech, we have an in-house ring. Now, all the code, there's a lot of applications. I am particularly in the MIS group, which is Meditech Information Systems. What we do is, in my application, we keep track of all of the dictionaries that all applications will need. Like, I don't care if you're in billing and receiving, or if you're in admitting, or if you're in emergency room or nursing, you have to have access to the list of doctors. That would be an example of one. Different allergies, that's all stored in MIS. So if someone's allergic to latex gloves, you better be able, they've got to have access to be able to do a lookup and put latex gloves in. We store all that stuff in there. All kinds of stuff. Medical problems. The list goes on and on and on and on. But basically any dictionary that every site can use, that's what we do. So here's what happens. These should be mirror images of each other. Now I said I'm MIS, but there's all those applications I just mentioned, nursing, oh goodness. I mean, from the time you walk in the door, actually from the time you call and schedule an appointment to the time you leave the hospital and get your bill, however many months later, all of our software, we have the software to do all of that. So there's a lot of applications. I'm one application, and I'm in the update group. In the update group, there's programmers for all these applications. Our job is to get a site to their new code. So here's what happens. We have an in-house ring. This, the one we just went up to, is 566. But let's say they were at 565. All three of these rings, like I said, we don't want to play there. So all three of these rings, code-wise, are mirror images of each other. They may have different data in them, because not all, we don't want to put people's real problems, we don't want everyone else to see all that stuff, because believe me, HIPAA is a big deal. All patient information is proprietary. So the code is the same, but the data is the same. So this is a mirror image. In-house, test, and live. So if we need to, if we find a problem, we're not going to try to fix it here. We're going to, first of all, try to duplicate it in our in-house. Put the same type of data in, everything, all the conditions the same, so that we can make it break the same as it did here. And we'll put the change here. And then if it works here, we'll move it to here. And they'll test it. And then if that works, then it goes to live. So it's really pretty ingenious. I wouldn't have been smart enough to think of this. But there's the three. So when a site gets an update, now they were a 565. We're taking them to 566. First thing we do is we make a carbon copy, exact copy of this ring. So we're creating a second in-house ring. It's still technically 565. We create a second test ring. Still technically 566. 565. Now what we do, this live is still 565. Now what we do is we do a code overlay of the 566 code on top of this. So now this has all the 565 data, it has the 566 code, or 565 code, but any changes that were in 566 are now in-house. We do the, at this point, this is where I come in. This is a lot of what I do. We have to, every hospital has custom codes. Well, what does that mean? That means not everybody does everything exactly the same. So you can have all your pretty little windows and all your pretty little entry screens, but a hospital might want to keep track of some different data than we do. What's a good example? I don't know. Some states have, they use different identification numbers for their doctors. So there might be a custom MIS screen where they're entering the doctor with an extra field on it. So it's my job to take this 566 code and fit all that custom code into the next update. That's my first priority with bringing them from 565 to 566. I'm taking all their customs, that's the first step. I'm taking all their custom codes and I'm making it now so it works in 566. Once that's all done, we have our specialist tested. That's one of the nice things about Meditech. Honestly, I don't deal with customers all that often. And the reason is we have programmers for every application, but we also have specialists. A specialist will know everything about how an application works. I don't know that. I know that sounds crazy because you're a programmer, but I don't know how everything works all the time. And I often have to call them and say, hey, how's this supposed to work? Explain to me what it's supposed to do. But they know all that stuff. And they also work as kind of like the liaison to the hospital. They deal with the hospitals. So when a hospital has a problem, they'll call their specialists. I would venture to guess, this is just a guess, probably 70-75%, maybe more than that, of all the problems that a hospital reports don't even get to us, because they'll figure out it's a setup issue or something's not quite right. It's probably, honestly, probably higher than that, because it's got to be broke before we get it. And even then, I find it's not usually broke. It's still a setup issue, But sometimes the setup is, you can imagine everything that you have to put in. I mean, it's easy to miss something. It's easy to, there might be a parameter that doesn't, that hasn't been changed for eons, or it might be a new parameter that no one even knows about that now we need that's not there. So even then, there's very seldom that the code is broke, but it does get broke. So that's my first job. I've got to make these customs. That's job number one. I make the customs. Then this is still 6.5. But we overlay, now we move this code to there to the sites test. So there's a few people, that's their job basically, to move code, to move applications. So now they move this. This and this are now mirror images of each other. Now the site will test this for a long time, usually at a minimum 4 months, sometimes as many as 6 months. Some of them we find are very good testers, like they'll find crazy stuff. And other ones don't test at all. You want the ones that test. Because what happens when they go live, you want to find, if you have an issue, you want to find it here. You don't want an issue when there's patients, when it's dealing with patients, because then it's critical. And then is when we get, we're on high alert. We got to make this, we got to fix up, and we got to fix it now. So I'm actually, like I said, a programmer analyst. Do I program? Yeah, I program a lot. I look at code constantly. I'm always fixing stuff. I'm writing new code. I'm writing utilities. One of the things that we did with Aura, we had 560 hospitals, or
somewhere around there, yeah.
Close to it, 550, 560, that had Aura Phase 2. In other words, that was a bunch of government, if they were going to get refunded from the government, they had to meet these, they had to meet this criteria. So it's been a push to get to this latest release. In the last, since May, April, the end of April, I think, we've had 550 sites move from here to here. That's a lot of them. One of the things that I wrote was a utility, I led a team that corporately, there's about six of us, we wrote a utility to automate. Prior to this, someone had to physically go through all the steps, create everything. We wrote a utility that can look at the schedule. It looks at the schedule ahead of time, sees who's going to get an update, takes that information, sends it along, and actually creates the update automatically, or creates the in-house ring automatically. That was a huge, huge time saver. I would venture to say that each site that we did that for, we saved, I don't know, I can't imagine, probably 8 hours work. That was a lot of fun. So we get programming opportunities, but we also solve problems. I'll give you an example of one that I worked on. This is a small problem, but just so you can see how bugs happen. Greg talked about the electronic health record. I gotta stop zooming, I don't know what. Greg talked about the electronic health record. One of our hospitals thought it was a good idea, and I think it's a good idea. They have, we have a patient health summary. And by the way, most of your doctors now, you can get that from them. You can download it from their software. So this one hospital that we had, they wanted to, as they were discharging their patients, they decided that they were going to hand out little flash drives. You know, the flash drives now, they're so cheap that they were just given, I don't know if they were given a half gig, whatever smallest one that they had was. And they were putting it in and they were downloading all their health files. So they would have their electronic, their patient health summary. They would have the list of medications that they had to take. They would have all that on a little flash drive. I mean, if they wanted. We know that not everybody's computer literate enough to figure it out, but if they wanted it, they had it. Well, here's what was fascinating. When you went to download a report from our system, you couldn't download onto an empty flash drive. If the data, if there was one piece of data on it, it worked fine. But if it was a totally empty flash drive, even if it was formatted correctly, you're stuck. It wouldn't download. And I got to figure this out. And I got, so I looked at it and I'm like, why did you send this to me? But it's fascinating because you think you have no idea. And some of these programs are very, they're very intertwined. This one we'll call this one, which we'll call this one. It really takes a lot of labor. But the bottom line is it ended up being to see if it was a valid path to download on. We were using actually a Windows command called first file, which returns the first file in on the on the path that you selected, the first file that you could find. Well, on an empty flash drive, there is none. So what I ended up finding out was if you send first file, if you look for a first file and there is no first file, but if the file path is empty, it returns a piece of data which is nil two. That's what Windows returns. So I had to look at what was being returned. This is a DTS that I submitted. A DTS is when you find a bug and you submit it to fix an issue. So I had to change it from at first file. What it was doing is if it finds the first file, then it let you download. But I had to change it so that if it finds the first file or it returns a two in the second, we call these pieces of data. This would be the zeroth piece, this would be the first piece. If the first piece of data was equal to a two, it also allowed it to download. So that, I don't know, to me it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because, yeah, you're doing this. This gets tedious after a while, but when you get these problems where you think, I'm not smart enough to do this. And I know I gotta hurry, so I'll just tell you this. One thing, see this was easier last year because Priscilla wasn't here. But I will tell you, you guys are being well prepared for what it's like to work in a software company. Because honestly, when I was sitting in your seat, I thought she was crazy. Seriously, the amount of work that we got was crazy. It was a lot of work. But I am grateful for it. And Greg mentioned earlier, we're a proprietary company. We have a lot of people from BCC. You need to consider, you should consider Meditech. It's a great company. They look out for you. You have a great future. And number two, because we have a proprietary language, the reason we're a good fit is because with an associate's degree, if you've been thorough, if you've worked hard at it, you probably have enough information to go to a place with a proprietary language. Because what you really need to know is the if statements, the do loops, how a program works, how this will call this one. You need the basics, and they'll teach you the rest.
Quick question. Do you use Access at all?
No.
No, they have a different database, though.
No, but. I should have actually said that, because I don't care if it's Access. Access is kind of like SQL in disguise.
That's right. Yes. Right.
Yeah, you need databases.
And they use SQL.
We do use SQL.
See, that's why I'm not going into programming.
You're missing out a great opportunity, that's all I'll say. But everything is about data, not storing
data.
Right. And we have a little bit different way of doing that at Meditech. It took me quite a while to figure it out because it seemed different, but it's not really different. Because ours is all like array-based. Everything's kept in an array, and it's too complicated, and I don't have enough time to get into it. But actually, when I learned to equivalate it...
She wouldn't like it anyway.
When I actually learned to equivalate this array of data to a row on an SQL table, it just got a whole lot easier. Databases are... I'm telling you, everything that a computer programmer is going to do, it's all about storing data, recalling data, showing data, and reporting on data. That's all it is. And that's all we do. We take all the information about the patient, and we store it somewhere, and we better be able to retrieve it at the drop of a hat. And not only better we be able to retrieve it, but the people who need that information on down the line better be able to retrieve it at the drop of a hat. It's all about data. So SQL, to me, that's important. That's one of what I was saying. You get a good foundation, that's one of the things you need.
Every company out there, I go to every career fair, you can imagine, they're looking for SQL programmers. If you're looking for a job, there are opportunities for you if you know how to program an SQL, database programming.
Exactly.
Every company you go to,
Oracle
class does is basically SQL. It's an entire class of SQL.
Well, that's just a little bit. The Oracle class is an entire class
in
SQL. So you
probably
have a real strong background in SQL.
Well, thanks so much. Definitely check out our website. I know we're out of time, but I have a couple of
position
descriptions here. My business card here if you have any questions.
Just don't give it to Emily. She doesn't
want to know. Emily, I'm just a quick question. If we are able to do some type of interview sessions where students could come, bring their resumes, have a quick interview, and get some feedback, similar to what you did on campus with Terry about 5 years ago, would you be willing to think about that?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And so, I will tell my advanced classes
in the advance,
that too,
okay.
People
that are
getting
ready.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'll let you know the dates, and then if anybody's interested.
That's how we've hired a lot of people.
Right. That's we've got some great people that way.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.
So I forgot you guys like simulation software. I submitted my visual basic assignment, but I sent it through the Bristol email, it wouldn't let me type in very note, so I don't know exactly how it's going
to work. Send me another email that tells me
probably it's not. Oh, yeah, I did. I sent you off my email.
Because you need to get me a piece of paper, or I'll send you an email.
Okay.
Send me an email. I'll respond and say that you can take it because it's
Okay, and then I can just bring that to the registrar and show them. All right, excellent.
Okay.
Thanks.
Are they ready for Christmas break or
Does
sometime in January break?
Right before, January would be better. I mean, actually, February would be better.
February is better?
I mean, right now, everybody's crunched.
I was thinking sometimes over Christmas break because they're not as busy, they don't have classes.
Yeah, right, but
you think February?
I think it works. I mean,
February works.
You know, right now I look forward to a January vacation. In fact, it's really funny because I'm on a committee that's like sending me, say, well, we can use January. I'm saying, excuse me?
Yeah.
If you're holding it to North Carolina, maybe yes. Basically, I'll have to download the 13, I guess. I thought I had it, but I think it's on the computer that's not working. I've got one computer that's, and I think that 13 is on there.
I'll send you them all published.
Yes, I saw the email. I haven't looked at them, but I saw the email where you said you've done that.
Okay.
I just didn't have time to look at them. So this is what 13 looks like, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if I like it.
I think I'm going to stick with him next time.
You can change the language, though.
No, I think I'm going to stick with him because I have, basically, I don't change once the year has started because I'd have to change all my examples. And I can do that over the summer, but not so much. Okay. Now, right at the beginning,
you misplaced my exam.
Like when I start a new project.
When you start a new one, see if you can do it when you start a new one. New project. Because lots of times they let you in other divisions of Microsoft things.
I would think it'd be like an option right now.
I would think so too. That's definitely promising, doesn't it? Okay, so I'm going to have to download there's an express version, I'm sure, out on the web, so I will go and download the express version.
Okay. I got this off of SBCC.
Dream Spark, yeah. I actually can probably still get it off Dream Spark, too. I think I have a for that, maybe. But the Express version is fine. So I will try this week to download the
tape. Hopefully I don't have to rewrite all that.
No.
It took me a while.
Well, I mean, I can get in the middle of the code anyway. I don't have to run it. It's just running catches little things that people didn't do, but I can get in into the code. So I can correct it that way.
Which I've done.
Yeah, those Wi-Fi networks.
Yeah.